There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a bad council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday Eve edition of the show. Happy Thursday to you. As we get started here, of course, the breaking news out there that and now there are just five, another juror off for Donald Trump in New York City in that trial. What do you think? You think if you would have been asked to sit on the jury, could you? I mean, even if you're like the biggest Donald Trump fan, could you be a fair arbiter? How far is it going to how tough is it going to be to get a jury seated there? You know, the one person they were talking about this morning, they said she had no opinion one way or another about Donald Trump. Where is she? I mean, really? Does it mean positive, negative? Like no opinion? Has no thoughts on it? Your thoughts on the text line at 343-0106 or good old-fashioned telephone call, same number, 343-0106. Mention of this at the end of last hour, but it looks like still slow go 65 northbound at the 158 exit in Saraland. I think I'm seeing traffic from way down the road from that, so this looks like that's at the Chickasaw exit, if I can see. I'm watching one of these cams here. So traffic slow going there, but the look like a 18-wheeler that it was on fire, or maybe still is, I'm not sure, at the 158, right there at 158 and 65 northbound, had it shut down. It does look like traffic is crawling along, so not complete stopped. I don't know if they are. Leanne, if we find out they're rerouting people or something like that, let us know. All right, as we get cranked up for today, Parker Snyder joins us here in just a little bit, about 12:35. He's with 1819 News. We'll talk about Erica Thomas's story about the Certificate of Need. The proposed South Baldwin Regional Freestanding ER has been contested by competition medical facilities. Yeah, this is that Certificate of Need stuff. Plus, Ashley Trice from Lanyap joins me next hour. Lots to talk about going on in the city of Mobile right now. I think she said in her op-ed in the latest issue of Lanyap that Mobile was a hot mess. Mobile's a hot mess. So we'll get her to talk about how hot the mess is in Mobile. Plus, I got to have time this first half hour to get to this story I've held on since Monday, too. If you got a pair, do you have Crocs? Not crocodiles. You have the shoes, the Croc shoes. You know there's a lawsuit out that's been allowed to proceed in what's anybody pick the state? Yeah, right. California. People are suing Crocs. Why are they suing the Crocs manufacturer? We'll get to that in just a little bit. But top story coming out this morning, toll roads for South Baldwin County, the toll road over the ICW to be gone soon. This is here's a story from WPMI, MyNBC 15, said state purchases Orange Beach Express toll bridge for $60 million. The tolls to end in May. Okay, so first question for me. I don't know if y'all had it as well. Don't you think they were doing better money than that? Like if you're to buy a business, you're looking at the books, kind of you're looking at what they're doing annually. You figure, you know, with the projection for 3 years, it seems like for them to walk away from this. Now, of course, I understand there were pressures outside the actual business deal, like that bridge that's just to the west of where this one is. But, I mean, if you're looking at just the money, if somebody says, hey, we're going to buy something from you, and you say, okay, well, you want to pay what? And then I'm going to make how much in the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? That's why the price to me was surprising at $60 million. Not that I need $60 million in taxpayer money going to anything, but it seems like the state I don't have the books for the Foley Beach Express, but it seems like that's a deal. So the state of Alabama has purchased the Orange Beach Express toll bridge from American Roads LLC for the price of $60 million. Employees were notified this morning about that. The last day of tolling. Now, where do they go? Are those employees just going to stick around till we get the toll, get the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project done, and they can go work the tolls for that? Although I think that's going to be automatic tolls. So the last day of tolling will be the Friday before Memorial Day. Okay, I thought it was after Memorial. The Friday before Memorial Day at noon, which, by the way, the same day snapper season opens. And the toll gates will be raised permanently. I wonder if they'll leave the little kiosks there and the arms in the upright position just to remind you of the tough times. Will they keep the facilities there just in case the state wants to have some reason to shut it down? Or will they go in there in the middle of the night with a D9 and just knock it all down? Here's the memo that came out from the governor's office today. So it says, Governor Kay Ivey, Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennan, and the Baldwin Bridge Company on Wednesday announced the signing of an agreement for the state to purchase the Foley Beach Express Bridge in Orange Beach. Thanks to Governor Ivey's leadership. Mm-hmm. The bridge will become toll-free immediately upon ownership change, benefiting Alabamians and visitors alike. A quote here from Governor Ivey said, Alabama's Gulf Coast continues to experience record growth and success. I am proud we are making the needed infrastructure improvements in the area that will help alleviate traffic congestion for Alabamians and those visiting our beaches. I'm surprised, Dalton and Leanna out there, that she did not say hardworking Alabamians. You know, like every the governor says it a bunch, and every political ad, hardworking Alabamians. They just throw it in. It means nothing anymore. I wish she would have done that here. That would help alleviate traffic congestion for hardworking Alabamians and those visiting our beaches. She goes on to say, I appreciate Mayor Kennan, the Baldwin County Bridge Company, and the Alabama Department of Transportation, and all those involved. So ALDOT, so that means John Cooper, right? Big thanks to John Cooper. The Alabama Department of Transportation, all those involved in this agreement that will lead to significant progress for our coastal communities. Significant progress. Coastal communities, and I'm glad the state's doing this, coastal communities, though, have done all right. Don't y'all realize that in Montgomery when you look at where your money comes from? Okay. Says the sale is expected to close in May with the collection of tolls to cease at noon on the date of the closing. A date for the closing will be announced as soon as it's scheduled. Now, that would be interesting, too. Who's going to drive through that morning? The morning of the 24th. Who's going to pay the last toll going through before it goes free? Or we just sit there and wait? Goes on in this memo from the governor's office, says, when the transaction is finalized, the Alabama Department of Transportation, ALDOT, will operate the Beach Express Bridge toll-free, initially carrying southbound and northbound traffic. ALDOT's construction of the Intercoastal Waterway Bridge will continue, with completion expected in spring or early summer of 2026. Upon completion, the Beach Express Bridge will be converted to carry northbound traffic, and the new ALDOT Bridge will carry southbound traffic, creating one-way pairs. Parallel bridges to move traffic more efficiently to and from Alabama's beaches. The entire route from I-10 will become a state highway to be named State Route 161. So there you go. Oh, and the breakdown of the money here. Under the terms reached by the parties, ALDOT will pay $57 million to the... By the way, ALDOT had... Wasn't it $250 million that ALDOT had pledged to the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project? This gigantic project. This project carrying federal traffic, interstate traffic, right? $250 million, which they've kind of gone through already. That's why we're on a big pause here. And maybe a forever pause for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. But $57 million they slapped weather for this single bridge. So now they'll pay $57 million to Baldwin County Bridge Company for the bridge and $3 million to the city of Orange Beach for local road improvements. In addition, ALDOT will commit to pursue widening Canal Road to 5 lanes between the new parallel bridges and an intersection improvement at State Route 161 and 180 intersection in Orange Beach. Both projects were already included in ALDOT's State Transportation Improvement Program for the 2024 through 2027 time period. These agreements will resolve the lawsuit filed by the Baldwin County Bridge Company and terminate its contract with the city of Orange Beach. So, it just... Once again, I'm glad the state, as a taxpayer here, got what I feel is a pretty darn good deal here. I just don't, you would think there would be more revenue to be made. I wonder how much of this was, y'all going to lose this lawsuit, and how much of this is a good deal for the investors. It just seems like it's cheap. $60 million seems like it's cheap for that. Said, to facilitate, goes on and says, to facilitate, oh, I'm sorry, we've got to go back. Here's where we talk about the hardworking Alabamians. It goes on to say, since 2000, the Baldwin County Bridge Company staff has been honored to serve the community and are proud to have provided a safe and reliable route to the beach for nearly a quarter century. That was from Baldwin County Bridge Company President Neil Belitsky. To facilitate the end of tolling, Baldwin County Bridge Company will not open new accounts or modify existing accounts starting April 30th. Current account holders will be able to add funds to their existing accounts until a few days prior to closing. More information related to your account refunds at beachexpress.com. So there you go. There's where we stand. What do you think? It leaves me with a lot of questions. But my first one is, I think it's a deal. People are saying, why don't they eliminate the tolls today? Well, they haven't closed. They said right there, it doesn't close until sometime this next, in the next 30 days or so. And then we get the arms of the toll booth staying up and those people hanging up their orange vest forever. That happens on May 24th, at least according to what they say. All right. A lot of people seem to be happy with that. Let's see. I don't think anybody's unhappy with it. But, a lot of people have said, why is it not happening right now? Once again, the best understanding I would have would be that the deal is not closed yet. But what do you think? Do you think that was a deal? I can imagine the traffic that goes through there. Don't you think they do a couple million dollars a year in revenue? Well, I'll read some of your text when we return at 343-0106, plus the Crocs lawsuit we got to get to, see if you have a chance of maybe this lawsuit coming to Alabama. How many pairs of Crocs do you have? I have children have Crocs. That's got to bring me a lot of money, too. We'll talk about that when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Boogity, boogity, boogity. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Keep my eyes on. It looks like traffic's moving better there. That was 65 northbound at the 158 exit there. Saraland northbound 65 at 158 was stopped, but it looks like the traffic is starting to crawl there now, so we'll keep an eye on it. And if you got any reports, you're out there in that traffic, you can always let us know. 343-0106 if you're completely stopped and on the side of the road and your car's off and your keys are in the back seat, whatever you got to do, but you can let us know. All right. Let's see. We'll get to the Crocs stuff here in a second. Pat says, I'm curious why they would spend all that money, remove the toll, and still have to pay for upkeep. Oh, I bet you they're going to buy it, then let the bridge company build the bridge to nowhere for a toll. Oh, you think the other one's going to go for a toll? No. John said that damn beach has ruined Baldwin County. Yeah, it's also brought a lot of money. It depends on the. I remember down there in the 1980s, right? When it was a very different place, early 1980s down there to now. But it's a big deal for a lot of money here. And of course, the state, whatever they're going to spend to that, they make it back in revenue. I mean, if you go further back than the oil spill and look at the amount of money that the state received, which should have gone down here, but the state received in total because it was about the loss of tax receipts that Baldwin County and to some degree Mobile County, South Mobile County produces. Terry, I like this, sent me a picture or a little movie, a little GIF here of Don Corleone and said Aldott made them an offer they couldn't refuse. I wonder how I'm kind of leaning your way there, Terry, because I don't know what bridges cost and all that, but $60 million seems like a smoking deal to get something that they're buying the physical infrastructure of the bridge, right? The build of the bridge, concrete and the beams and the engineering and the lighting and the pavement and all that stuff. And then the future revenue from yutzes like me paying every time I go through. So, Jim and Sim say it'd be a good deal if they continue tolls until they recoup the $60 million. Yeah, but they said they're going to make it free. Let's see this texture. Let's see. Sir James of Loxley. Hello, Sir James of Loxley. He said, good afternoon, Sean. I'm so pleased with how you and Jeff support the leadership of Kay Ivey. Laugh out loud. I feel absolutely the same way as you two. The only thing Kay Ivey has done for Baldwin County is to have a bridge named after her by the Foley Municipal Airport, which is not, which, let me ask you, Sir James, it's not, that's not told, is it? Okay. Adam said, Sean, it sounds to me like another example of ALDOT and the governor's ineptness. I think this purchase was nothing more than a way to kill the lawsuit that arose from ALDOT's arrogance, bungling of the new bridge to nowhere project. And then Jason says, with ALDOT taking over the Beach Express and toll bridge, we'll now see the trash, scrap tires, and overgrown roadsides take over. Yeah, because, I mean, what the state is then, you know, taking over what is the Foley Beach Express and renaming it, what did they say, 161? I do think this is, if I'm overstepping my bounds, somebody in the road builder world, bridge builder world, those of y'all that live in that world, I don't claim to know it. That seems like a heck of a deal for the state. I don't get, because you're buying two things. You're buying, what does it cost to build that bridge? What's the current projection of the new bridge that we're building down there? How's that? How much does that one cost? So what's it take to build that bridge? The roadway work they had to do to link everything together for Foley Beach Express, right? And then the ungained revenue going forward for that company. It seems like there's something, and that's why I'm back to Terry and the Don Corleone. There's something else here. I mean, I'm glad the state got a good deal, but money seems, it seems like a smoking deal for the state. All right, before we run to the news here, I just want to make y'all aware of this before it comes to our state. This from injuryclaims.com. Now, don't ask me how I ended up finding this. Found it elsewhere and ended up at injuryclaims.com. Headline here is California judge rules Crocs shrinking shoes class action lawsuit can move forward. And it's got a link here so you can sign on to the class action suit. This is really something. Said, California sunshine might be great, but it could be wreaking havoc on your favorite pair of Crocs. Wreaking havoc, y'all. Picture people running like they're in a Godzilla movie. According to recently revived class action lawsuit, this week a California federal judge ruled that the lawsuit against Crocs, alleging that the shoes shrink significantly when exposed to heat and water, can move forward. And it says the plaintiff's claims, shrinking shoes and deception. So here's what they lay out. Said the two plaintiffs here, California residents Martha Valentine and Ruby Conejo. Can you say that? It's close to another, to a bad word, Cornejo, we'll say. Real close to a bad word. So plaintiff's claims, shrinking shoes and deception. The claims here is that Crocs did not disclose that their shoes, marketed as all-weather footwear, would shrink significantly when exposed to common elements like sunlight, heat, and water. This includes environments you might expect to wear Crocs in, like beaches, pools, hot cars, and even porches. I'm having trouble here because I got a pair of Crocs. I've never had any shrinkage issue here. It also says, misrepresenting the product, the class action lawsuit argues that Crocs advertising portrays their shoes as suitable for hot, sunny, and wet conditions. This creates a false impression of the product's ability to withstand these elements. They're a piece of rubber. What the Sam hell do you expect out of these things? Not a pair of steel-toed Danner boots or something. The alleged actions translate into legal claims of, number one here, fraudulent concealment, and then fraud, and then negligent misrepresentation, and then breach of express and implied warranties. The lawsuit contends these shrunken shoes are essentially defective and a violation of the consumer protection laws. I'm waiting for some story where somebody was injured by their shrinking Crocs. Like, I was just going along the beach there, and then my shoes shrunk up so badly I couldn't walk and I fell down or something like that. But yes, it is a lawsuit here that is out there. You could Google it. California, no big surprise, moving this Crocs lawsuit. Class action suit. Have your Crocs shrunk up on you? Have you had problems with your Crocs? Just let us know, and we'll pass you along, right along to the injuryclaims.com. Yeah, and as we head to the news here, saw this roll up on the news. Also, a texter, and I see who I want to give credit where credit is due. The texter that sent it, it was Marty. Yeah, sad news out today. Dickie Betts. Dickie Betts has died. He's at 80 years old, dead at age 80. It's a word here from his management. David Sparrow said in a statement with Fox News Digital, it's with profound sadness and heavy hearts that the Betts family announces the peaceful passing of Forrest Richard Dickie Betts at age 80 years old. So that's sad news. And we'll go to Statesboro and have the blues on the way to the news. Coming right back, Parker Snyder, 1819 News.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We get and grab some of these texts here. Our friend Parker Snyder, 1819 News, is going to join us. Listen, there's about half of the discussion here. It's a good balance between the Crocs lawsuit, class action lawsuit out in California, and then the bridge. Both of them big money. Although I did get a text here on my normal phone, not even on a text line. A buddy of mine said, now I trust this man, but he said he had a pair of Crocs that his son left in the back of his truck last year during the heat wave. He said they were size 13 and they shrunk to a size 7. No kidding. They were brand new Crocs as well. I don't know. I mean, I'm not leaving mine in the back of the trunk. But it's enough for a class. I mean, I'll give you the address, my friend, and you can get in on the class action. Mine have not been shrinking. My Crocs are okay. So we'll see. What, Parker, do you have Crocs?
Crocs are the first shoes I ever bought with my own money back in probably like 2007 when I was like 14 and or something like that. Yeah, 14. And I remember like $30. I'm like, oh, that's so expensive. And I did put them on back at home when I was back in Memphis where my parents live a couple weeks ago, and they did feel smaller, but I don't know if my feet were just smaller back then.
So it's hard
to figure out.
I would just say that they got smaller, so you can join this class action suit when it spreads across the land. I can't wait to be watching Fox News at night, and they'd be like, have you or somebody you know been injured by shrinking Crocs? Here at Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, we're ready to fix, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll try to get on that. I'm sure I'll get the dollar and a half whenever it passes and the money comes out for it.
That's right. The Crocs lawsuit. And by the way, too, traffic update from Joe in Pensacola, 65 southbound now backed up at 17-mile marker. Thank you for that update. Now, all right, speaking of money, you and I talked about this a little bit, and we're going to talk about a couple other stories from 1819 News, but they announced this morning that the state of Alabama buys the Foley Beach Express Bridge for $60 million. And I'm not in the bridge world. I'm not in the road building world. But that seems like a smoking deal. Somebody sent me something here, just a link, and I have not been able to go second party on this. So I'm just reading what was sent. But they said the build cost $44 million. Okay, just the building of the bridge cost $44 million. And the state buys it for $60. I mean, I'll buy it for $61 million. I mean, with the kind of, they got to be making millions a year in revenue.
How many years has that bridge been there? Because it's been there as long as I remember, but yeah. I don't.
Oh, it's like been there
20 years, 30 years,
not 30, but okay. Let's say I'm 52. 30, yeah, probably 20 years. Somebody will correct us on it. So, but I mean, that's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of unrealized revenue. I mean, you get the thing paid off, and then it's just, you know, mailbox money.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, I don't know, but I wonder what is going on with the Baldwin County Bridge Company. Like, I mean, that seems like that's their bridge, so maybe they're just going out of, I don't know. I have no extra knowledge on this, but my question, like, well, that seems like that's what's making your money. So what's going on there? But, I mean, I remember the bridge. It's at least been since Ivan, because I remember when we went to the beach right after Hurricane Ivan, and there were boats like way past where the wharf is, and just like on the ground. And so, yeah, it's been there for a while. But I mean, it's and no, but now it's going to be no tolls because it's going to be owned by the state. which is, I don't know. It's interesting. I think that's the only toll bridge I know of, or toll at all I know of in Alabama. I guess there's some for the under Mobile, but y'all love tolls down there, I guess.
We just have the one major one there. We ever get the I-10 Mobile River Bridge, different story, but
yes.
For now. I want to talk about this story Erica Thomas has up over at 1819 News. This is a subject that has been in discussion on this station off and on over the years, and it's something called a certificate of need and how it deals in the medical world. First of all, I guess, let's back up and say, what is a certificate of need?
Yeah, so this is a medical building kind of situation. So what happens with a certificate of need is, let's say a company wants to, like in this case, they wanted to create an emergency department, build a new emergency department freestanding in an area. And in a normal situation without certificate of need, they could just build it and they wouldn't have to ask anybody for permission. It was business model. It worked with their business model. They'd be able to do it. But because we have certificate of need laws here in Alabama, and a lot of states don't have them anymore because they don't work, they don't actually make healthcare less expensive. Because we have a certificate of need law here, the it has to be approved by the state government that, okay, yeah. And the question they're going to ask is, do you actually need to have an emergency department here, or is this going to make it to where there's more supply than there is demand, and they're worried about cost. But the problem is the research has shown, after the initial research that showed that maybe it would help cost, is that certificate of need doesn't help lower cost. It actually helps to raise them because there's less beds, there's less facilities. And so I just talked to Erica, who is one of our reporters, and she said that this Loxley proposed South Baldwin Regional Freestanding ER that was going to be built just got rejected by the Certificate of Need Board after Gulf Health Hospitals Incorporated, which owns Thomas Hospital, North Baldwin Infirmary, a couple other places, after they contested it. And so now, yeah, that's not going to be built because of this old Certificate of Need program.
Okay. I'm just a simple guy here, Parker, but they're saying that more facilities would drive up price. So wait a second, more competition, more supply would drive price up? Did I go to the wrong class or?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. So it's old research from the 70s that has been disproven as of like the 90s. And so, but Alabama, so what happened is all the states adopted it in the 70s, certificate of need laws. Federal government realized that was a bad idea. They gave some incentives for states to get rid of the CNN boards, but Alabama is one of the states that haven't. Meanwhile, this isn't a problem in other states, including some neighboring states. And so it's just like an old thing that we just haven't changed yet, and we haven't changed it yet because people who have facilities right now are incentivized to not allow competitors.
So, but what that board, the people that are, I mean, because believe me, if I could have a situation where I could say the only radio stations, you know, we can't add any other radio stations, this is the only one. I mean, competitively, yeah. I'd like that. But the board gets to make the decision. Does anybody get to make a decision over the board? Is there a way to change this?
Yeah. So the governor appoints the 9 members of the CON review board. And so there's 3, you know, consumers, and then there are 3 healthcare providers on that board, and then the other 3 are just representatives from the governor. And so, you know, I'm assuming all 3 of the healthcare providers voted no, and then, you know, we're able to get some other people on board.
Okay. So, I mean, in our pro-Alabama, pro-business Alabama state, sorry, that nobody would take this, it seems like this would be, a good thing for somebody to take up and say, we're going to change how we do this.
Yes, and Senator Stutz, who is a physician himself, has sponsored a bill this year that would do that, at least would eliminate the need for the rural counties, the 47 that count as rural counties in Alabama, from the CON requirement, because there are a lot of needs in rural communities and a lot of hospitals have shut down, but that bill failed in committee, so it's not happening.
All right. We'll keep an eye on that one. Y'all check that story out at 1819news.com. And then this story, I saw something from AL.com last week that said, you know, Republicans have a way to keep Biden off the ballot in Alabama, blah, 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 blah. And even I looked at it and I said, you know, come on, we're not going to do that. that you got to have somebody. Let's not play games here. And it looks like that has come around, that they've moved the dates here to allow President Biden to be on the ballot in Alabama. I mean, I think that's I'm for that.
Yeah, it seemed like it was really just so the Secretary of State, Wes Allen, just told the Democrats, you know, hey, y'all need to send me a letter approving Biden as the candidate before August 15th, because this is just how our law is. And the Democratic National Convention is a little bit later this year than it normally is. And this has happened with Republicans, too. And so just this week, the House and the Senate both approved a change to allow Biden on the ballot. And they just moved it up, moved back the date. So it'll be, you know, September instead of August when those are about to close out date is.
Okay. Well, because that's the key here. I mean, people say, well, why? You know, I need us to be able, because the same thing should, we'd be screaming bloody murder if the flip side was true. So.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
All right. Tell folks, 1819 News and the website, what y'all are all about, how they get signed up. I get that email from y'all. How do they do that?
Yeah. So you can get our email, which has basically got the news from all you need to know for that day. Just go to our website, 1819news.com, click the subscribe button at the top left corner, stick your email in there, and you'll get an email every day. We try not to pester you with extra emails very much, but this email will give you all of our stories that are going to be on the website in the morning, just to give you a good sense of what's going on in the state and some national news as well.
Okay, and make sure next time you're home, you know, with the family, get pictures of your Crocs, right? Have those ready for the attorneys, okay?
Definitely.
All right. Parker Snyder, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. There he goes. Parker Snyder, 1819news.com. Let me see if I can get we'll get a lot of these in. There's a lot of y'all that are worried about your Crocs here. See, now this is funny. I don't know who this unnamed texter is, but he or she. Although I don't know. There's probably, it could be a she too. There's some pretty funny moms here. This is a mom or dad joke here. It says, the Croc suit is almost certainly headed for defeat. I'm going to use that with my 13-year-old and probably use it with my 18-year-old just to bother her. All right. From John, Aldott should have kept the toll on the bridge to Orange Beach. This would help Aldott pay for some of the projects that they owe to Mobile, such as divided four-lane Highway 45 and the Mobile River Bridge. Preach, John. The 45 thing. That's the bridge. I'm with you, but the bridge is such a big project that four-laning 45, don't get me started, man. It's like a major thing with me. Yeah, how about that money? Go to 45. That'd be good. Now, Backstrap Stacker says, how long do Crocs last? It's a $30 shoe. When they get old and shrivel up, just throw them away and get a new pair, freaks. If you keep your Crocs long enough to notice shrinkage, you have bigger issues to deal with, like suing Walmart because their $5 flip-flops last about a week. Basically $1 a day. And we've got to get that lawsuit going too, Backstrap.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by my man, Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles, which we've known each other way too long, Clint. I mean, we're aging, but he's always been into triathlon and working out, but bicycling always big time in the bike world, and never did let that go. And then a couple years ago, he said, hey, man, if you thought about e-bikes, I said, you know, I've seen the e-bike stuff on some of the, you know, hunting pages I'm looking at and people using them to get around stealthily. And so I went down and he said, I got the bike for you. And mine's a Scout from Magnum. It's the off-road, the big wider tires, heavier suspension, all that kind of stuff on there. Great bike. But it made me realize there's a whole bunch of different e-bikes for different uses. This one's perfect for me for off-road riding, on-road riding as well. And like I told y'all, I mean, I could use it all electric the whole time, never have to pedal, but I enjoy getting some of the exercise. I mean, it'd be better did I use no electric? Sure. but I would never ride the bike. It's got me out riding more days, more often, and it's been a great thing. Plus, I use it in the woods as well. But it's just one of 50 different e-bikes that are charged up and ready for you to take a test ride on at Adventure Earth Bicycles at any time. And I've told you a bunch of different ways people have come to me and said they use them. People have campers and RVs. They take them with them when they go somewhere. They park the, you know, park the camper or park the RV, and then they use the bikes to get out and ride around town, do all that kind of good stuff, go get groceries, go out to eat, whatever. A buddy of mine uses it to track along with his cross-country running daughter, who's pretty darn fast, so he can ride along and keep up with her and keep pace while she's out running. Other people using them for, one guy I know, using them to get to work. He does this thing where he rides all electric on the way to work so he doesn't get sweaty, and then puts on the t-shirt and shorts and rides a bike with pedals back to the house, so gets exercise every day. Listen, there's so many stories of how people use these e-bikes. You got to see what it's all about when you go to Adventure Earth Bicycles. Now, if you want a non-e-bike, he's got, I don't know, what was the last count, 400 or so in stock at any time, plus all the gear that goes on e-bikes and other bikes, plus tuning the bikes, doing all the repair work on the bikes, no matter what the brand. So check him out. My man, Clint Jameson, he's at Adventure Earth Bicycles, right there at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, kind of county cornered across from Bruce Chris. You see him at adventure-earth.com. That's the website. But go see him in person. That's the most fun for Adventure Earth Bicycles. Text line is popping. I don't know that I can get to all these. A lot of stories about their Crocs. People who, I have not had any problems with my Crocs, but a buddy of mine texted me, said his had shrunk up. This is the lawsuit down in California, the class action suit. Pat saying the $44 million. So yeah, Pat had sent me the text about the cost of the Foley Beach Express and Bridge, $44 million, included the 7.5-mile Beach Express. It's still a smoking deal, right? State gets that as well. I mean, as much as I could just say, well, we don't need to spend... Well, I mean, wouldn't you... Ask y'all, and none of us... Well, I don't have the books. I don't have their books. I don't know what the revenue is. I'm just guessing. And I think most of us would line up if we had the investors to pay $60 million to get that bridge with ongoing revenue. And the state, they walked away from it for $60 million. It seemed as maybe somebody in the bridge world can tell me I'm all wrong, but Pat's showing it was a $44 million for the bridge and the 7.5 miles. And then what must the revenue be? Right? I mean, that's what they're walking away from. Let's see. Bill said, I wonder if we can add DiGiorno pizza to the lawsuit. I left mine in the oven a few hours too long, and it shrunk to the size of a moon pie. A real crock of a lawsuit. Another good joke. Thank you, Bill. Roy in Spanish Fort said, certificate of need equals communist effort to subvert capitalism. Now, I need to have an explanation. Hopefully, maybe somebody who knows certificate of need better can tell me why telling people they can't have a medical facility in a place brings the price down for the consumer. I'm always open to learn new things. Always open. Yeah, Jerry said the hospital owners are the people who control the board. I understand that, Jerry. That's, except we'd like to put me on the board of, you know, allowances for new radio stations in the country, right? But it's a, just explain, I mean, go back to the logic they're using from the 70s. I'm willing to learn. I have my opinion now, but I am open-minded. Somebody tell me why limiting the amount of supply keeps price down. T-Bone says it's a sandal scandal. See, this is good. This is good. Let's see. Oh, very good. So Lori says, I just met Jennifer Fiddler at the State House. She said she's normally on the Jeff Poor Show. She is, Lori. She's on with Jeff. Says she's never met me, but loves my voice. Well, Representative Fiddler, if you're listening, you're welcome to come on here too. Because Jeff swooped in here and took some of my regulars from me, so I'll do the same to him. All right. And Sir James of Loxley again said, I had some Crocs that were insulated. They caused my feet to sweat. Can I get money for that? There's no insulation. You can't fold. Are there insulated? My kids wanted to get stuff to put on their Crocs. Some kind of baubles or gobbles or whatever the thing. I know my friend Supermom is reminding me what those things are called before. Gibbets, something. They wanted to put, like, accessorize. And I was being cranky dad for a second. Then I realized I was a child in the 1980s. And my grandparents, I suckered them into getting me a Swatch. Remember Swatches, children of the 80s? And then there were accessories you had to get for the Swatch. So it was quiet then about getting on my kid's case. All right, so coming back in just a few minutes here, Ashley Trice is going to join us. We're going to talk about big story that's up at lanyapmobile.com. As we now have response, many people have asked me, have you had response from James Barber about the Prine allegations and what the mayor said on my show and what Chief Prine said on my show? Well, it's out now because Jim Barber spoke to Lanyap, and there is a story up right now over at lanyapmobile.com from Brady Petrie and Scott Johnson. And Ashley and I will talk about that just in a little bit. I think there's a lot to it. Reading through it, though, I mean, there's a lot to it, but also it, and hopefully Ashley can help me with this, because part of it was just, by the end of it, I'm like, well, what just happened? You know, like it confuses me as much as it maybe answers some questions, but we'll get into that. Also, next hour, if we have time, this story, as yesterday we're talking about movies, right? We talked about whatever the Hunted movie was that I saw over the weekend. Speaking of which, a new horror movie is coming out, and it will twist a beloved Disney character into a, quote here, vicious killing machine. Which beloved Disney character turns into a vicious killing machine? Well, I'll tell you coming up next hour right here on Midday Mobile. News coming up.